Where are all my Gen Xers and younger millennials? Wait, if that's not you, please don't go, because you're also going to love this episode as well. But for me, this was an exciting one. My guest today is Tiffany Thiessen. She's probably best known for her roles as Kelly Kapowski on Saved by the Bell and Valerie on Beverly Hills 90210. A quick look at her IMDb page will show you that she's also been in classic shows like Charles in Charge, Married with Children, and Blossom. I'm sure some of you remember those as well. But today she's not here talking about acting. We're talking about her new cookbook, Here We Go Again, which is out next Tuesday, September 26th. So if you're someone who cooks, which is pretty much everyone, this show is for you. This is Chris Spear, and you're listening to Chefs Without Restaurants, the show where I speak with culinary entrepreneurs and people working in the food and beverage industry outside of a traditional restaurant setting. I have 31 years of working in kitchens, but not restaurants, and currently operate a personal chef business throwing dinner parties in the Washington, D.C. area. So something interesting to note, due to the current SAG strikes, Tiffany was not able to discuss her previous acting work. No juicy gossip about Saved by the Bell, no discussion of 90210 hairstyles. But thankfully, Tiffany loves talking about food and cooking. Her first cookbook, Pull Up a Chair, was released in 2018. Now she's back with a new one that tackles the topic we all deal with, leftovers. Besides reheating them as is, what are some really interesting ways to use up those leftovers? But more than from just a cost-saving standpoint, this is an environmental issue. Unless you've had your head in the sand, you know how big an issue food waste is. Sure, you can compost food, but isn't it better to actually reimagine it as something delicious that you and your family can eat? That's what Tiffany's new book, Here We Go Again, is all about. It also has a really fun, nostalgic feel to it. We talk about cooking for family and with kids, and I wanted to find out what inspires her and how these cookbooks came about. And what didn't she know about cookbook writing? Of course, she didn't come up in the food world, so what were some of the challenges she had? We also discuss her relationship with social media, something I think all of us can relate to these days. And on the topic of celebrity cookbooks, I asked her which celebrity cookbook she'd like to see. And when you're done with this episode, if you're thinking, wow, I would love to learn more about Chefs Without Restaurants, what's next? Well, besides working your way through the other 200 plus episodes, I'd like to direct you to chefswithoutrestaurants.org. It's kind of like a link tree. You'll be able to find my Instagram, as well as sign up for the Chefs Without Restaurants newsletter, where I'm sharing cooking content and recipes. You can also join our private Facebook group for culinary entrepreneurs, as well as find links to some of my favorite products. And the show is made possible with the help of our sponsors. So this episode will be coming right up after those sponsor messages.
Are you a personal chef looking for support and growth opportunities? Look no further than the United States Personal Chef Association. With nearly 1,000 members across the U.S. and Canada, USPCA provides liability insurance, certification, lead generation, and more. Consumers can trust that their meal experience is insured and supported by USPCA. And now, for a limited time, save $75 on new membership and get your premier listing on Hire a Chef by using the code TAXBREAK2023 at USPCA.com. That's capital T, capital B. Plus, if you have products or services to sell chefs and their clients, showcase your business on Hire a Chef and USPCA websites with our great introductory packages. To learn more about membership, advertising, or partnership opportunities, call Angela at 1-800-995-2138, extension 705, or email aprather@uspca.com.
Hey, Tiffany, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I'm looking forward to talking to you today. This is a little different one for me. You've had a long career in the spotlight. I guess most of our guests probably know you from your long career as a chef and cookbook author. Is that right?
I would say most people probably know me as an actress.
Really?
For a long, long time. But food has always been a huge passion of mine. I grew up kind of in the kitchen with the women in my family, loving to cook and getting creative in the kitchen with them. And so my love of food kind of started there. And then as I grew older, I was, you know, fortunate enough to travel through, you know, the entire, pretty much all states in our country. And then I got to go overseas and really kind of broaden my sort of love of different cuisines and different cultures. And so my love of food just kind of broadened even more. And so I stumbled upon an idea that I was able to sell and had a cooking show on Food Network and Cooking Channel for a few years that was really fun. And then from there, you know, people were like, well, why don't you do a cookbook? And I'm like, oh, I guess I could do one of those, huh? Yeah, so that, I had my very first. It was weird.
That must have been
a weird
transition, though. It was like, very different.
Well, I think most people generally in the food space probably start, you know, their career before TV, right? But because TV was already a part of my world, that it seemed like that was the natural progress, you know, for me, because I was already there, you know, doing, you know, as an actor. So it was a little bit backwards probably for most people, but it seemed probably the right progression for myself. So yeah, a few years ago, I published my very first cookbook called Pull Up a Chair. And then my new one comes out the end of this month on the 26th. And it's called Here We Go Again. And I'm super excited about it. So it's, like I said, it's a huge passion of mine. And it's fun that I get to kind of share my love and this sort of kind of second career, really, you know?
I guess, why a cookbook? The TV, to me, makes sense because it's probably easier for you. Cookbook writing. And I'm sure there was a lot that you didn't even know, you know, besides the actual recipes and the recipe development. You have things like food safety or even like, can people find ingredients? What did you maybe not know the first time when you did your first book? Like, what were surprises?
I didn't know anything. I mean, I'm going to be really honest. Like, it was my first book. Like, you know, I've done other books. Like, my husband's an author and he does children's books, and we actually did our first one together, but a cookbook and what they call a four colorway and all those things that you learn, I kind of feel like you sort of learn along the way. I sort of did that with acting too. I sort of learned along the way, you know. I was so young when I started that there really wasn't a lot of classes, or I didn't go to school for it or anything like that. I kind of learned as I went, and I sort of feel like the cookbook was the same thing for me. I kind of learned along the way, made a lot of mistakes but tucked those mistakes, you know, in my brain and learned it for the next time, or, you know, that's kind of life. So it was, extremely hard. I make a joke all the time that I say, you know, creating and putting a book out is almost like birthing a child, except it has four hard corners, you know. it's hard. It's really, really hard. It's a very long process. A lot of people, I think, when I started talking about the first one, they didn't realize how long it takes to make a book. Again, especially a color, you know, a four colorway book, it takes forever. I mean, the printing process in itself, and then since with COVID and all that kind of stuff, it takes even longer because of just the delays, you know, overseas and things. So it's a very long process. The first one took about, from the first spark of the idea to the moment it got on the shelves, was over 3 years. It's a really long time. And this one is close to that. I'd say about 2.5. So, you know, it's a big process. And what I enjoy about it is the creativity. But it's hard. I don't think it's for everyone, because I think it's because it's so hard, and I don't know if the payoff is so huge, except for the physical part that's really exciting about getting a book that you put so much work into. You know, there's a joke, people say you don't make money in books, and it's kind of true.
Podcasting, you know, this is a hobby. I mean, I get some revenue from like ad sponsors and stuff, but reality, like, you and I are having this conversation, I'm going to spend hours of like going over it, listening to it, cutting it, and then you put it out, and there's a lot of excitement for the first week or so, and then it's on to the next, and now we're promoting the next guy, and, you know, it still gets some downloads, but you're like, wow, that was a lot of hours I put into this like 1 hour conversation, and I'm trying to do that every week. So
I totally agree with you.
Get in the kitchen and cook.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally hear you. It's a little bit of that. You really have to love it to really want to do it, because it is a lot of work, and you don't get a lot back generally.
But it didn't scare you away from doing a second one, obviously.
No, I guess once
you have all the knowledge base, right?
It was definitely easier this second time. I can say that about having a child. Like, the second time was just a little bit easier because you know what you're doing. But it's still hard. It's still time consuming, as you know. So, but it's fun. I'm proud of this one. It's one that kind of, the idea kind of sparked during the beginning of COVID. So it's kind of has a little special, you know, place in my heart, because I think we all have that time period very focused in our lives. And so, and just to give you a backstory on it, you know, we weren't going to the grocery store as often. All of us were so afraid, right? Yeah. You know, we were so afraid to go to the grocery store. So, you know, when I would send my husband, who normally doesn't do the grocery shopping, but he was like, I'll do it. you know, I was very strategic about what I was getting him to get. And then I would really try to stretch everything we had for as long as possible, you know, so he wouldn't have to go back right away and get exposed or whatever we thought was happening at the beginning of COVID. So, and it got me thinking, because I was raised that way for different reasons. You know, I was raised in a family that didn't have a ton of money. So my mom was always stretching food for the budget reasons, you know, so she would take the roasted chicken that she would make on Monday and she'd make, you know, the leftover chicken into enchiladas and things like that. And that's just kind of how I was raised. And it got me thinking, I was like, you know what? This is no different than how I feel we should be really preparing and cooking food generally. I've really tried to instill in my children about food waste. I think it's extremely important to understand how impactful it is, if you know, to global warming, because it is. It's huge. We waste almost 40% of food, which is it's astonishing to me.
Yeah. Go to a grocery store when they're getting rid of the ugly vegetables and stuff.
Grocery stores, coffee shops, all the pastries get thrown away. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. And it's quite saddening. So I said, you know, there's a different kind of cookbook here. There's an idea here that I have never seen myself. And so that's kind of how the idea kind of sparked, was really something that my mom was kind of doing anyways for money reasons. And here I am trying to do it for my kids. And then it got sparked again sort of because of COVID. So, you know, it all kind of came full circle. And that's, you know, that's the book. Here we go again.
Yeah, I love the idea. I mean, I think food waste is something we really need to work on. One of the things that was interesting for me is we started composting not too long ago. And you know, I'd much rather eat it. But what I find when you're dedicated to putting food in there, you visually see how much of that trash is food, right? Like when you just dump in the trash bag, it's like, it's paper plates, your kids' stuff, whatever, you don't really think about it. But when you have a bucket, you're like, wow, this is a 5 gallon bucket of food. Yep. We're throwing away like 5 gallons of food
every week. It's true. Yeah.
So that like reinforced it with me even more that like, okay, what are we putting in here and why is it going in there and what can we do so that it, you know, doesn't end up in there.
Yeah, we started composting many, many, many moons ago. And if it wasn't going to our chickens, because we have chickens as well, it was, you know, it was the last resort was composting. But it does make me feel better knowing that it's composting and going back into the dirt to the food that I grow anyway. So we really have taught our children the whole full circle of it all. But again, you know, like I it's like a fight. Like I want to make sure I use everything in my fridge. And it's kind of a funny little way of being creative, right? Like really getting creative about some of the stuff that's left over in your fridge and your pantry too. You know, my kids used to throw away all those broken chips and I'm like, no, I could do something with that. Stop, you know? So
sometimes it's like a science experiment looking in my fridge or the freezer. Like I have bags of like vegetable scraps or bones or just like little bits of meat. There's some great Instagram accounts these days, like zero waste kitchens and stuff and restaurants. Yeah. There's this one restaurant in London and they're doing all kinds of crazy things, but they have recipes for things like coffee liqueur using spent coffee grounds. Like you just take them out of the coffee pot and add sugar and water.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like you're basically the next day straining it and adding vodka.
It's really neat to see people get extremely creative, like truly. And that's really what this book was really about for me. In a whole different way. And then I got to throw in, just because it was kind of a nod to my childhood and to my mom. And I really wanted to sort of have a really kind of big nostalgic, you know, sort of look to the book. And so it was fun to kind of throw back to the 70s and 80s and really kind of give it that sort of flair, which was really fun too.
And it's great because it makes you, you know, I'd say relatable. You know, I'm not in Hollywood. I think the perception is maybe like, oh, these celebrities, they're so rich and they just eat out and they have private chefs. It's like, no, Tiffany Thiessen's like using leftover hot dogs in her house.
Yes.
She's just like us. Look at her, you know.
It's, you know, here's the thing. It's bigger than that. Like, that's why I say it's something I want to really try to teach my children, that we need to be more responsible. And that's really what it's about.
It seems like in my experience, there's always at least one person who's not into leftovers. I don't know if you have that in your house or something.
I will totally I'll throw him under the bus. It's my husband. So it's
corn
another.
Again? Yes. We had it 2 days ago.
I know. And he's always been the person, and I don't know where it kind of stems from with him, because his parents tell me all the time that they always were doing leftovers. You know, they didn't grow up with a ton of money. So I don't know what it is, but you know, now it's more of a game, a challenge, I would say, to literally take things that are left over and make it into something else that he has no idea. Because if I tell him, hey, I'm going to use the leftover blah de blah for a dish, he'd be like, I don't want it. I don't want it again. That'll be his usual answer. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we'll freeze. Like if we feel like it's the third day this week, we're doing something with chicken. Because that also goes along with like meal prep. You know, I've got two kids. It's a busy week. Like we love to just like cook on Sunday a ton of chicken and have chicken Sunday night and then, you know, chop it up. And maybe Tuesday we'll put it in a dish. And then it's like, okay, we're going to put it in the freezer. And then we've got that dealt with for the next time.
Oh, yeah.
How are the kids with it? Because, you know, kids are sometimes...
Again, they're like, great. I think if, you know... It's sort again, it's kind of like my husband. It's I don't want to say I'm tricking them, but I'm definitely, you know, I'm up for the challenge to literally take things that they wouldn't probably notice that I've taken from earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What are some of your favorites? Like when someone gets this book, if you were to give them maybe like a three recipes that you really think they should try, do you have favorites in there?
Oh, it's like picking a favorite child, Chris. That's so hard. I think there's ones that are super relatable, right? So. Yeah. We constantly have leftover pizza, like, you know, because, you know, I don't cook.
Leftover pizza? Come on.
I love cold pizza, first of all.
I mean, I do too.
I love cold pizza. But we generally order a lot of pizza just because my kids are like just cheese and my husband and I like other things on it. So we generally have leftover pizza half the time. And so, you know, instead of just having normal cold pizza, I created a really amazing, super easy breakfast sandwich out of pizza that I think people will really like. It's easy to do. It's relatable because I feel like everybody loves pizza. Everybody has leftover pizza. That's one. I think anytime that we always have leftover rice because I usually make a huge batch of it. My kids love making their own sushi. So we do these little sushi cakes out of leftover rice, which is really fun. Super easy to do as well. That's probably going to be another favorite. And then just to go kind of nostalgic for me, so I grew up on bean and bacon soup. I don't know if you remember, but canned soup, right? And yep. I don't know why, but it was my most favorite soup as a child. It's kind of like the movie Ratatouille at the very end when he gets taken back, right? That's that soup for me. And so I wanted to recreate a healthier sort of fun kind of version of it. And so I do a sausage, beans, and greens soup in my new book, Here We Go Again. And to me, it's, again, total personal reasons, but it's so nostalgic for me that I love it so much.
That is one of my number one recommended recipes to people who want to learn to cook and to cook. It's like, I think some people are paralyzed by they need a recipe. Yeah. And I have a recipe that was originally like a cannellini bean, chorizo, and kale. Mm. But we're just like, but it's like, what do you have? Did you pick up some Swiss chard at the farmer's market? Oh, do you not eat pork? Well, turkey sausage is great. Oh,
and that's the thing about
garbanzo beans.
Absolutely.
Like, it's always like a green, a sausage, and a bean.
Yeah.
And that combo is such a winner.
So good.
So we do that all the time in our house.
Love
but I will
it.
Say, I'm not a soup for dinner guy. I'm not an only soup for dinner guy.
Okay.
That's my pet peeve. My wife is always like, oh, we're having soup.
So you need something else with it?
I need a sandwich. I need a salad.
Like, well, what about just a good crusty, you know, baguette?
Crusty bread, no.
No.
Like, maybe, but I want like a... I don't know. It's just my family loves soup for dinner and they have to eat that every night. And I'm just
I
can't.
To me, that's enough because you've got the greens. You've got,
I mean,
you've got all the separated things just all in one stew. So
I've tried so many times. But
hey, you know what you like.
Is there anything on your do not serve list or do not make in your house? Like, what are the things that maybe like you or your husband like that the kids don't or just you like? Or is there something you universally
I'm still trying to get my kids to like Brussels sprouts. You know, it's one of those things that my husband actually used to hate until he met me. And then I cooked them in a way that I guess he's never had before. And now he loves them. But my kids still won't eat them. I've tried so many times. I mean, they'll eat them. I'm not going to say they don't, but they don't love them. They just don't love them. So that's one of those things that I'm constantly trying, but they're not doing it. Like if I shave them down and like fry them up, they'll eat them, but it's not the best way to eat them. But anyways,
I mean, bacon makes everything palatable. That's my daughter's favorite vegetable
is
Brussels sprouts.
Is it really?
Sprouts.
Yeah, I love
but there
that.
Has to be like either like chopped pepperoni in there or bacon. I usually
so
like
I make one with bacon, with pancetta and a good little, you know, little bit of balsamic and stuff. And it's amazing. That's what actually turned my husband that recipe.
That's because we all grew up.
My kids haven't
like,
done it.
Boiled, right? Like your parents brought bought frozen Brussels sprouts.
Yes, that's how I felt about peas when I was younger. Like, I hated peas. They were so mushy. They weren't exactly how they should be served, right?
But it's so funny that I feel like some of those generations still hold on to that. Maybe it's for their nostalgia. Like my in-laws live with us and my mother-in-law is like always making comments that like my food is always burned. And you know, it's not burned, it's roasted. But like I pull out the Brussels sprouts and like the ones on the edge are nice.
Are the perfect ones.
And that's the great stuff. And she's always like, oh, we're having burned vegetables. Like her favorite is to grab that bag of like now it's microwavable and you just chuck it in the microwave. I'm like, Can we not
put plastic in the microwave, please?
I know. But it's just so, you know, she's 80. I don't know that we're going to change there.
No, you're not. She's set in her ways. And you know what? The older I get, I feel like I'm the same way, right? It's just different generations. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I love fresh vegetables. I love the farmer's market, but I've got to stop going on Sunday and buying like 12 days of vegetables that then like, you know, by Wednesday, you're like, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
I'm sure. Okay. Well, I have a whole chapter about produce bin, everything produce in there to give you some extra ideas. Not that you probably need help, but sometimes it's nice just to get a little.
But it's always nice. Like I saw the recipe for, it's like a quinoa porridge that you did, and I think that would be great. Like I've never done one of those. I love quinoa, but I usually treat it like rice and just, you know, cook it in stock or whatever and just you know, kind of put stuff on top of it. But I love the idea of having it be,
it's like a
savory, little more creamy.
It's
you know.
A savory porridge, which I really love. And it's actually one vegetable my kids do like mushrooms, so they'll eat that one, which is really great.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's great to kind of see, like, I don't want to say a return to cooking, but I do feel like it fell out of favor a little bit. Like you, you know, I grew up with a household where you just ate what your parents bought. Like the kids didn't really complain. There was no alternative menu in my house. Like I couldn't get up from the table and like make a sandwich or have a banana. But I just like so many of my peers, people my age, I feel like they just don't deal in leftovers and they just like cook on a whim.
Yeah. Well, because I think we're moving so fast and a lot of us, we're usually coming from a house where both sides are working, you know, both parents are working. Kids are even busier than they used to be. Like they've got sports and homework is a lot more than I remember homework being when I was a kid. So I feel like it's really about the less time we have, right? To think about, okay, let me be a little bit better about, you know, looking into the fridge and not just throwing things away because I just don't have time, you know?
Are you strategically planning like your week, like saying like we're going to have on Monday chicken and then by Wednesday it's chicken enchiladas or like I anticipate that we're going to have rice left over? Are you being that thoughtful about it?
I try to be. It's not perfect all the time. It depends on how much my load is, you know, with work and stuff like that and travel and kids, like again, kids sports and all that, you know, we don't have a nanny or anything. So we're shuffling our children around. My son's starting baseball again and my daughter's in volleyball and she's got tennis. And so it's busy. So I try to prep a little bit, but it's more meal planning and ideas for the week for shopping purposes. I'm not a meal prepper. I just don't have the time. That's the crazy
dedication,
thing.
These people.
It's a huge
like
dedication. And I think it's amazing. Yeah. And I was more that way before I had kids, but now that I have children, I do not have time. And I know a lot of people do it on Sundays. Sundays, I'm literally at the baseball field or I'm at a volleyball tournament or I'm trying to grocery shop or, you know, it's usually, or it's my day to finally kind of chill with my kids and do a little bit of nothing, you know? So it's hard for me to do the actual meal prepping, but I would say meal planning, I definitely try to do.
Are the kids interested in cooking at all or being in the kitchen?
They are. I would say my now teenager was much more into it, but now it's more, she's got a load of homework. She's wants to talk to her friends. She's got sports. And so for her, it's a lot of it's timing. She'll get in there and bake with me sometimes on the weekends. She does love to bake. My son, when he was little, he loved to do the dishes. He was a cleaner.
Oh, like I need him in my house.
I know. It's so funny. But now that he's gotten older, he likes to help. He's like more of a helper, which I appreciate. It's very sweet and just likes to hang with me in the kitchen and see what I'm doing. Yeah.
I feel like you always see in like movies and TV shows and even like cookbooks, like families cooking with their kids and everyone looks like they're having so much fun and it's happy. And then I'm like, I'm kind of getting stressed here and having anxiety. And it's just like, can you just like step aside? Like, I just want to get this onion cut without like, making a big mess on the island.
I feel that way with big holiday dinners. I kind of just want everybody to leave me be, let me be, and kind of like Thanksgiving and stuff like that. I'm more like, the best thing my husband can do is take the kids and just move away, you know? Yeah.
Did they help you at all with any of the recipe testing in either of the books?
Yeah. I mean, they absolutely did. A lot of them are ones that I have been doing forever, especially the very first book. So they were all tried and, you know, true and tested, you know, through my family. Some of them were like the very first book, my mom's cream cheese pie is in there. And that's been in our family for years and years and years.
That sounds delicious. I don't even know what's in it beside cream cheese, but you have me cream cheese.
So good. But yeah, so a lot of them definitely because I'm cooking and I'm, you know, testing and or reinventing an older recipe that I'm making into new, like the sausage, beans, and greens. And so they're always like, what did you cook now, mom? What do we have to try now, mom? Sometimes they're into it, sometimes they're not.
My daughter right now is doing the decorative dessert type stuff. So yeah. I love that she's kind of like...
But she's being creative and I love that.
Yes, but the things, when I open these books, she has the Alice in Wonderland official cookbook. And when you see 8 hours, it's like, how long this recipe? It's 8 hours. It's like, we made...
Ooh, it's like a Lego set with my son.
She made this, like these little like Japanese looking flowers. And we couldn't find white bean paste at the grocery store. So we had to make our own. So it's like cooking dry... kidney beans in the pressure cooker and then pureeing them. I'm like, I love it.
You earn a medal for that, Chris. That's amazing.
And it only made 20 of them and we served them at her birthday party and they were gone in like 3 minutes. And then you see the kids who take one bite and say they don't like it. And you're like, please don't throw that out. It took us 8 hours to do this. So I'm hoping that this is a book that, you know, we can get into some of the savory side. But you also have sweet stuff in your book.
Oh, yeah.
All of it.
I also have a whole chapter on leftovers from all the popular holidays, too. So
what's your favorite food holiday?
I would say Thanksgiving for sure, just because it's the one day that you get to eat as much as you want without any guilt. And I love it.
And the sheer volume. Are you guys like a 20 sides type people, like where you have to have everything, or like how do you decide what's going to hit the table?
We are. What's nice is, again, like I think I mentioned at the very beginning of this interview, that all the women in my family cook, right? This is kind of where my love came from. So all the women pitch in. So between myself, my mom, and my aunt, you know, my grandmother's no longer with us, that we all pitch in. You know, I do the big stuff and then each of us do a dessert and then a couple of us, you know, do a couple of different sides. And then, you know, my kids love to do the roles that we do. So they help out with that. So it's really fun. It's like a whole family sort of, you know, tradition to kind of come together and pull together, almost like a potluck, but it's Thanksgiving.
And the first couple of days after, you don't even need creative recipes. You're just like piling it on, right? It may be a sandwich.
So
like you just load it all between two pieces of bread.
And then I take the stuffing. This is another thing that we do that's leftover. We take the stuffing and I make savory waffles out of the stuffing after.
I see that all the time. I've never tried that.
Good.
I think there's a cookbook called like Will It Waffle or something where these people just put literally everything in a waffle iron.
But the savory stuffing, oh, they're so good because then you can make your sandwich out of the waffle. It's amazing. Anyways.
Have you done that with rice before, like in the waffle iron? Because that's another thing I see. Like,
yeah, people
just
are doing rice. Yeah, people
do.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I do a version of that for the sushi cakes, but I'm just doing it on the pan. So, but you can definitely do it in the waffle iron. Yeah. I do hash browns.
Ooh.
You can do hash browns like that too.
Mm-hmm. Hash browns are my favorite potato. Like
you would say,
Of all the potatoes out there, I would say it's a hash brown. But they have to be any potato. I mean, besides a baked potato, I want it cooked really crispy. I hate flaccid potato.
Me too.
So like the tater tots, like if you're going to elementary school and they just bake them in the oven and then they steam on the tray line,
not good.
A hard fried.
Agree.
Nothing beats that.
Agree.
Is there anything you haven't been able to creatively recycle or upcycle? Like just something that is a leftover that hasn't worked out?
Gosh, that's a hard question. I don't think I have yet. I mean, I think there's things that definitely generally never are left over. Like chocolate.
Well, I will say the leftover Brussels sprouts get funky.
Yeah, like, they're not as great.
And then your fridge smells delightful for a couple days.
Leftover Brussels sprouts if they're cooked. I mean, we've been very lucky in growing some, which have been really fun. And so I just love shaved Brussels sprouts raw, too. I love a good raw Brussels sprout salad. So
I do too. I feel like you have to do it yourself, though, because when you buy them at the store, they leave the hard stock and they cut them way too thick. I'm always like,
do
they just give us the like the bad stocks?
I know.
Cut off the good stuff for someone else. And we
make Brussels sprout tacos, too, on the days that we don't want to do a heavy meat.
That's the main event.
It's so good.
Do you toss it with like any vinaigrette or anything?
A little bit of apple cider vinegar. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things. And those I actually generally like to do a little bit thicker just because it gives it that kind of density in the taco.
Yeah. I love tacos. I mean, my thing is like you could taco anything. I could eat tacos every night and like whatever I've got in the fridge. I've done like Brussels sprout slaw in a taco, but not as the heart of the meal there. Well, looking at like cookbooks in general, I think there's a glut of them, right? There's a million cookbooks and like every chef has a cookbook now. Every restaurant has one now. All the YouTubers want one. Obviously, we have celebrity cookbooks. How do you stand out? You know, there's a sea of cookbooks out there. Like what differentiates you or like...
I wish I knew the answer to that, you know?
Yeah, do you have a target market or demographic that you're trying to get? Like
Here's the thing. I would say differently from the first book, it would be, you know, I was going more towards hopefully people relate to me as a home chef because I'm not a professional chef. I did not go to culinary school and I really wanted people to see that anybody could cook, right? And so I was really focused on that sort of idea and that sort of audience for my first book. I think this book truly relates to everybody. You know, I have the nostalgic thing there, which I think people relate to me as being kind of nostalgic just because of my long years in TV, but it's more than that. It's more. I feel like this is a book that I've never seen before where we all could actually use a little bit of inspiration on really reimagining the things that are already in our fridge and our pantry.
Well, to be honest, you know, don't tell my chef friends this, like these are the kind of cookbooks I cook from because, you know, so I have a lot of cookbooks, but most of them are for inspiration.
Inspiration. That's exactly how I look
in my business. Like I'm coming to cook for you as your chef tonight. That's a different ball game. You know, like most of the week I'm cooking for home and I'm not taking out my Alinea cookbook, which I don't even think professional chefs can cook from, or, you know, like the 11 Madison Park book.
I have it, but it's a beautiful book, but that is a coffee table book.
What are you making from there? And I have literally hundreds of these books that I'm not cooking from. My wife uses like Mark Bittman's How to Cook Everything, right? Like it's in our kitchen because it's like whether you need pancakes or whatever. And those are the books that we at home. So even chefs, I think, are going to love this book because we're trying to get dinner on the table just like everyone else, you know,
and save some money. Yeah. And do something good for the planet.
Food is so, you know, the prices are going up and up and anything we can keep out of the bin.
Yes. Agree.
Is better for all of us.
Agree.
What inspires you?
You know, there's so many things that inspire me. I would say my family inspires me the most, of course. And I would say, my friends as well. And I would say, you know, it's funny being an actor, I would say TV, but I generally don't watch a lot of it. So I would say music inspires me. I would say fashion inspires me. I would say interior design inspires me. People in general inspire me, others, you know, and I think truly nowadays because of social media and being so huge, you know, this old lady recently just got on TikTok, which was a whole nother thing. You know, there's some pretty talented, amazing people that we have access to now because of social media. I mean, there's lots of crazy bad things about social media too, and I get that, but I really try to look at social media in hopefully a healthy way. And it's been fun to see some pretty cool things, especially on TikTok. Food is like massive on TikTok and it's fun, really fun. So that inspires me.
And the opportunities, right? I mean, first of all, like I first saw you on TV when I was 13 years old. And if you told 13-year-old me I'd be interviewing you, first of all, via the internet, which didn't even exist, that's crazy. But I have friends, like my friend Ryan Peters, who's on my show, he does Peter's Pasta, and he has millions of followers now. And it just started with him making pasta. And he was like
amazing?
Line cooking in a restaurant. And now he's traveling the world literally
so
to do
cool.
like pasta making with, you know, celebrities and sports teams, all this stuff, just because he started making pasta
and something he loved.
And then you can turn that into something.
Yeah.
It seems like you're having fun online, but do you find it fun, exhausting, a little of both? Like, what's your relationship with content creation?
I think it's a little bit of both. And there's days where it gives me more anxiety than I'd like. But I try, again, to look at it in a sort of healthy manner and know that as long as I'm being truthful and I'm really taking it with a grain of salt, right? Literally, I can have fun with it. And that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Now, do you feel like you're going to slow down once the book is kind of out? And because, you know, right now, right now you're in full promotion mode, right? Like cooking recipes from the book.
Yes.
Which I think when you have a release, you're at a faster, right, more frantic pace.
Of course. Of course. And that'll probably slow down a little bit just because, you know, I only have so much to show for the book. And hopefully by the time the book comes out, everybody will have it. And I get to start seeing what they're doing with my book, which is really super exciting, right? But the content itself, you know, like I've been on it for years and I mean, TikTok's the only one I've been newly on, but it's part of another sort of part of my career, right? I can't ignore that.
Now.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone like me who maybe wants to move from the food space into, you know, whether it be acting or collabing with celebrities? So from your perspective, mm-hmm. you know, because people are coming from, say, the acting world, getting into the food world. Do you have mm-hmm. any advice for someone who maybe wants to make a transition into a different career from what they were doing?
You know, I think anybody can if they have the passion first for it, the time, and the determination, right? Those are the three things that I think you definitely have to have to even start anything new. And I could say that about food. You know, acting was my whole life, but food was a passion, always had been there. And so I just kind of turned it on its side a little bit and said, hey, I wonder if there's a way that I can make another career sort of out of this sort of area that I love so much. And I did. And I highly recommend that to anybody if they want to give something new a try. And not even new, I would say something that they enjoy.
And it takes time, right?
Again, of course it does.
One of the downsides, I think, with social media is that it does seem sometimes that it happens so fast, right? Someone went viral and all of a sudden they're famous. It's like, well, you didn't see.
But that's like winning the lottery. Yeah, I mean, it's really like winning the lottery. It's so hard to know and you can't put all your pennies into that, right? Like that's not where you should be. It's really just wanting to put out, if it is content, putting out the content that speaks to you. And you will most likely, hopefully, find an audience because you're being truthful.
Do you have any aspirations within the food world other than the cookbooks? Like, have you thought about that? Like, a line of sauces or a food truck?
I don't know. Like, it hasn't hit me yet. I would never not say no to it because I love food. And I think there's definitely ideas that could be kind of fun. But they haven't presented that yet. So maybe in the future.
With the book, are you doing, like a little tour kind of?
It's a little shorter than my first one, but I'll be in the tri-state area. I'll be in New York and Tribeca and New Jersey, and then I'll be going off to Chicago, and then I'll be in Austin, Texas, and then I'll be doing a couple in the Los Angeles area. So that's my tour week as of right now, and if anybody wants to see if it's sort of close to them, they can go on my website. They could also go on my socials. I've been posting all of that like crazy of exactly the time and the bookstore that I'll be at.
What haven't we talked about that you think you would like to get across to our listeners today?
I think we've covered everything, but I would say, just to point on the book, I would say if you're feeling like you need a little inspo, and not just in the traditional cookbook way, but just for people who already have the things that are in their fridge and their pantry, then this is definitely the book for them.
Fantastic. I have one for you. Celebrity cookbooks. If there was one celebrity who you would want to put a cookbook out and you would buy it, who would
that be? A celebrity that doesn't
have a cookbook?
Just a
celebrity, like someone you love, but it's got to be a cookbook. You know, you're just like, I really would love if so-and-so put this out, right? Because I'm sure there's people who are huge fans of you and they're like, I'm going to buy her book because she's amazing and I've watched her.
Well, it's so hard. You know, somebody who hasn't, because Snoop Dogg would have been the one, but he just put his out a couple years ago.
I got to get him on my show.
Oh my gosh. So he endorsed my book. We actually went to school together because we both grew up in Long Beach.
Oh, that's crazy.
Same school together. But somebody who hasn't. Oh, that's a really hard question, Chris. I don't know if I can answer that right off the top of my head. Yeah, you do. That was a tough one.
I'd want it to be weird. I want like, and I love music. I think it'd be like I love like Nine Inch Nails. Like if Trent Reznor put out a cookbook, I'd be like, I'm kind of into this. It's kind of like dark and like, are we gonna have all black food or something like that? You know.
I could go, so then I could go kind of nostalgic, right? And like the people that I used to listen to, like I loved the Go-Go's, like Belinda Carlisle. I wanted to be Belinda Carlisle when I was younger.
Do you know that there's not a Go-Go's cookbook? There might be. I might have to go on Amazon.
I don't know. You're asking a very hard question. So I'm just throwing things out there, right?
No,
like you said. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's just, because it is really interesting. Like now, like again, my daughter has this Alice in Wonderland cookbook. You know, you
see
the official Avatar cookbook, you know, Star Wars Wookiee cookies. Like there's so many interesting bizarre ones.
It is.
I love Star Wars. I'm going to get that book. So,
We'll
say Go-Go's cookbook. I think that would be fun. We'll see if we can find Belinda Carlisle and make that work. She can get a ghostwriter or something.
She just
signs off on it. Well, it's been great talking to you today.
Yeah, you too, Chris. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I can't wait to promote this when the book is out. So we'll get that out there so everyone will be able to get this book.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you continue to cook recipes online. I enjoy watching. I love the, under 1 minute consumable
online. I think we all do now. I think we're at that place, right?
Give us a little break.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for coming on the show. You're still here? The podcast's over. If you are indeed still here, thanks for taking the time to listen to the show. I'd love to direct you to one place, and that's chefswithoutrestaurants.org. From there, you'll be able to join our email newsletter, get connected in our free Facebook group, and join our personal chef, catering, and food truck database so I can help get you more job leads. And you'll also find a link to our sponsor page, where you'll find products and services I love. You pay nothing additional to use these links, but I may get a small commission, which helps keep the Chefs Without Restaurants podcast and organization running. You might even get a discount for using some of these links. As always, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Chefs Without Restaurants or send me an email at chefswithoutrestaurants@gmail.com. Thanks so much.